We're here with Tommy Gottlichev, Rebellion, here on the Metal Command. Interview hour of the Metal Command show, of course. And Tommy, you know, talk about the band, talk about Rebellion, and talk about what you guys have currently going on.
Oh, we've put out the latest album, Arise, at the end of last year, or mid last year. And unfortunately, Uwe had our guitar player, had a severe motorcycle accident at the beginning of last year, beginning 2009, and we thought that he'd be ready to hit the road, but it turned out that when something wrong, his whole leg was smashed, and so something went wrong. They had to nail it back together, and they put some glue, like artificial bone stuff, you know, fluid bone stuff that you can put in between the bones, and it's supposed to glue them together and become part of the bone itself, but that didn't work. So in the end, he had to undergo a second operation, and he's still not quite ready to hit the road yet. We have some festivals booked for the summer here in Germany, some major festivals also, and we hope that he'll be ready by then. And we plan to be to play a small tour in the fall of this year, but we're still not quite sure about the healing process of his leg. We hope he'll be fine.
So has he been getting any better? How's he been progressing so far?
Yeah, as I said, at the beginning of 2009, it looked as if everything would be fine, but then liquid bone stuff, which was put between the cracks of his smashed main leg, dissolved, and so the same procedure had to be repeated December 2009, and January 2010 he had to undergo some more operations, and it's looking fine now, but it looked fine a year ago, so we're kind of careful with that.
This is the third album now you've recorded with the history of the Vikings concept, and maybe talk about the recording of the latest album and talk about the history of the Vikings concept.
Oh, there's not really much to say about that. I guess most bands work the same way. When we do concept albums, I have to do the first part. I do the reading, so the sort of content back work, if you want it that way. And I write a piece of paper, a reader, where I say the album could contain these and these songs that would be the topics, and the songs would deal with about that and that content, and they should sound or feel heavy or angry or slow or sad or so on. And we discuss that with the band, and then especially Uwe, but also Gerd and Simone, start to write songs, and we just try to write songs that sort of fit into the profile which I have given and provided. And of course you still change things, but basically we live all over Germany, so we work a lot via email, so we send MP3s to and fro, and when I receive an MP3 with a song, I go to my studio and I sort of hack it into pieces and put it together as I want it, and I sing guide vocals on it, and we then post those to our singer, and he does additions or sends his ideas. And so by recording at our private studios and sending MP3s, we sort of come closer to the point that we actually get a picture of how get an idea of how the whole thing would sound like in the end. It's pretty much work, actually, because you can't, like we did with Born a Rebel or like you do with ordinary albums, you can't just sit down and say, well, let's just put together a couple of songs, but the songs would have to fit into sort of a plot, you know, and also you have to understand that you can't have three songs in a row that have the same feeling, so you sort of have to pick the topics that they, in the end, that you have an album which is not only fit, where the music does not only fit the concept and the story which you're trying to tell, but where you also have, of course, the dramaturgy of an album, which with strong songs and slow songs, with quick songs and slow songs, sort of arranged in a way that is also interesting for the listener who doesn't really care too much about the lyrics.
Now, as far as the history of the Vikings concept is concerned, why did you decide to write about this, and are these stories based on real Norse mythology?
Well, when we did Born a Rebel, we were sort of, fed up with the conceptual work, and we just wanted to do an ordinary heavy metal album, fresh and rough, you know, which is what we did. And after that, we felt we would want to do some more concept stuff, and I had some ideas ready, and one of these was, let's do something about the Vikings. And the Vikings was finally the band decided for the Vikings. And then I got into the content and read a bit, and we met again. I said, we can't do it in one album, not if we have a if we want to deliver a certain content, meaning it should not only be some nice fantasy stories, but should really have a historical background. And I said, we can't do that on one album. We need three albums if we want to do that. And it would have to be one album about the eastern expansion of the Vikings, meaning going to Greenland, going to England, you know, even going to America, which was the sagas of Iceland. And one album about the eastern expansion. First was western expansion, of course. Second would be eastern expansion, meaning going to today's Russia, founding the cities from which Russia grew, and sailing all those rivers down to the Black Sea and to Miklagard or Constantinople, today's Istanbul. So this was the other direction of the Vikings, the eastern expansion, and the third would then be about the mythology which has arisen, which we did today. And thus, I believe, we managed to deliver some content lyrics-wise, which has a strong historical background and which is based on the sources that are available at present.
Now, the debut album, Shakespeare's Macbeth, was also a concept album, and let's talk about how you decided to do that concept and how that came about.
I first had the idea of doing that album when I was 18 and doing Macbeth in school as a student, and I actually, while I worked on Shakespeare's Macbeth, I found the old notes which I took when I was 18, and but these were, of course, not quite up to date, not of the quality that I would want to deliver. So it was an idea which had been in my mind for some time, and when we signed the first record contract, we talked with Drakkar, which was our record company back then, about the idea, and they really liked the idea. And as it is with first albums, you always have as much time as you need because there is no sort of deadline or so. So it took us almost 2 years to finish the work on that album. And everything, we even had the pictures, which you see in the booklet, drawn in oil. So they're some are like a meter times a meter, you know. So it cost us €3,000 simply to get them scanned in. So everything was really as we wanted it. And, I don't know, I just like the story of Macbeth. I think it's a good plot. It delivers, can offer a good plot for a heavy metal album and a heavy metal production. And I really like the play. And for me, of course, it was also a chance to speak those words and publish my voice. Whereas I believe nowadays I would be a bit better able to do some things a bit differently, you know. But on the other hand, you always are. So it was, as I said, sort of a childhood dream, which I managed to realize some years later. I had to wait for some years, but there's a time for everything, maybe.
So do you guys have any tour plans coming up pretty soon?
Well, as I said, we plan to do a tour in the fall of this year, and actually right now we're in the process of planning and organizing that tour. So we are not quite sure how many dates that will be. This will depend on the answers we get from the clubs that we write to and see how the response is. We haven't been on the road for some time, so we're not quite sure what our status is at the moment. We'll see. It'll be maybe 5 or 6 dates, or maybe it'll be 15 or 20. We're not quite sure. Mm-hmm. You see, we're not 20 years old. You know, we're all grown ups. We all have families and everything. So we don't play a show simply for the reason of playing it. We don't want to get rich on it, but we don't want to sleep on cold floors, and we don't want to drive for 2,000 kilometers one way simply to play a show and even end up having to pay for the gas, you know. Mm-hmm. So if it's these shows, we simply don't play, and we just play shows that work for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of your entire musical career, what are some of the things you are most proud of?
I guess every album I'm proud of, definitely. And I wouldn't really be able to say one is better than the other. It's like when you have children, you know, each is different, but each has its own strength, and you love your child for what it is, and this is how I look at the albums which I've done. Every album from the first album I released until Rise is like a child to me and is dear to me.
Now, after leaving Gravedigger, you know, let's talk about the formation of the band. You and Uwe Lewis obviously formed the band. And how did you find a lot of the other musicians to form Rebellion?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting story, because when I quit Gravedigger, I was not on speaking terms with Uwe at all. And And Uwe, only after I had left Gravedigger, Uwe moved to Frankfurt, which is pretty close to where I live, just like half an hour in the car. And, of course, we did meet in some bars in Frankfurt on some concerts, and we said just hello, and that was it. And due to the fact that Gravedigger had a lawsuit against their old record company, and Uwe and I had to be part of that because simply we had signed the old contract. So when the lawyers of our record, old record company contacted us, we got in contact with each other to talk about what was going on. And thus we sort of were in the position where we had to sit down and talk together. And we then found that we actually were on good speaking terms. And so we out of a drunk, you know, after a night of partying and drunk, we went to the studio, to Uwe's studio, and we just recorded something. And I just sang on it. And with my lousy guide vocals and some roughly recorded tracks of the drum computer and everything, we took that to the to our old record company, and we played it to them, and then we signed a record contract even before we had anything but a handful of roughly recorded songs with my lousy vocals on them. And Uwe had a new Michael, who is still our singer today, from Osnabrück, from where he lived before. So we contacted Michael, and he was in the band, and then it wasn't so hard to get Björn and Randy as a drummer. So that was actually pretty easy, because once you have a record contract, it's no problem to get musicians, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the many topics that I've been discussing with many musicians coming on the show is the state of the music industry and the climate that's here now with the music industry. And, you know, talk about what it's like now, say, you know, because it's a lot different than it was 10 years ago. And maybe talk about your opinion on what's changed and what's different for you, say, in the past 10, 15 years.
Yes, when I was Gravedigger 10 years ago, money wasn't a problem. When you want to play a tour, it's no problem to get a nightliner. It's no problem to have a good crew. It's no problem if you make minus, because everything would be paid out of royalties that you earn with us by the sales of records. Back then, a company would sign a band and would expect for the first two or three albums to make a minus, you know, because they would look upon it as building up a band. And nowadays, with record sales still dropping dramatically, we see that nowadays we sell about 20% of what was sold 10 years ago. So it's a crash of 80%. Imagine you have to work and you have to make a living from your salary, and your salary drops by 80%. So that's really dramatic, which means that most record companies are either bankrupt or are being bought by other companies, you know. So the market is seeing right now that it's very, very fewer and fewer companies are there, especially the small companies don't have a chance to survive. And bands who cannot sell, bands are happy if they sell 1,000 copies of their album. This is a high and a good and a strong number nowadays, which used to be 10,000 10 years ago, if you want it that way. So every record company, there's hardly any record company that's willing to invest money in a band simply because they don't have any money. Mm-hmm. And there's most productions, simply because there's no money being paid, and most productions are done at home in private studios, which means that they simply sound lousy, because it's not the technical equipment, which everybody can afford these days, but it's the know-how, how to handle things, you know. It's the knowledge which plugin to use in for which track, you know, and this is knowledge which has to be paid, of course, and if you don't have any money, you simply have to do it yourself, and you can't do it that well. So that's basically the problem of the music industry. And all these bands are uploading their stuff for free, but you can't download anything which sounds good. Most of these things sound lousy. Mm-hmm. I think in 5 years there won't be any CDs on the market at all, you know, because once the big supermarkets start to clear, to take CDs out of their program simply because there's not enough money to make by CDs, they could make more when they put dishwashers in there or whatsoever, you know. Mm-hmm. There won't be any chance for record companies to displace CDs at all. So there might be some small internet shops, but for these it won't be enough to produce a whole CD, because they don't sell considerable numbers. And so the music industry will collapse completely within the next couple of years, and will have to restructure itself fundamentally. And I've heard some concepts about downloading flat rates and stuff like that, so they are thinking beyond the points where there is no physical music that you buy and take home, but you can download everything, you know. But on the other hand, if I do a download, I don't get much money for it, you know. There's more money to make if I sell a CD. If I sell a download, I get a couple of cents, you know, and you can't pay an expensive production by that. Mm-hmm. So it'll change dramatically. I don't know where it will be going. Nobody knows, at least not the people to whom I've talked. And it would be too easy to blame the fans for it or anybody. It's just a change, you know. The internet is probably the most dramatic change to society after the book print, you know, the invention of the printing of books, which was, I think, around the time when America was discovered. So you can see what fundamental changes society and jobs and everything is going through, and this is just one small part of it, I guess.
And do you have any thoughts on why record sales have really plummeted over the last few years?
Well, simply because, do you buy your software in the shop or do you download it? Of course you download it. I don't go to shops and buy things. I buy it through eBay because it's cheaper. You know, everybody know. Most kids that I know don't even have a CD player anymore. Kids who are 20 nowadays or 15 nowadays, they either download for free or they pay for their downloads. You know, but nobody buys CDs anymore. It's just like us ancient guys who sort of, because of some romantic feelings or whatsoever, nostalgic feelings, who still want to buy CDs, buy music physically, and take it home. But this is going to die out. This is not modern anymore.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see the music industry going then in, say, the next 5 years? And, you know, how do you think it's going to affect heavy metal bands? Do you think that most of them will be able to survive, or do you think that a lot of bands are going to be gone?
I think what we're going to see is that music will be more and more available for free,
mm-hmm.
Simply because you can't hinder it, you know. And I don't think I think the music industry is going to lose its leading role in entertainment. I think it's going to be more home pages which offer free downloads, and it'll be in a way easier for bands because they'll be able to do a lot of the work themselves. But on the other hand, of course, it'll be harder to deliver quality simply because the quality needs to be paid for.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure, but I think there's going to be a large underground area where bands also have a chance of gaining an audience for themselves, you know. And it'll probably be harder to gain profit by promotion simply because there won't be any media like there used to be the big magazines and radio shows, and all that will I think slowly decline and crumble away as it has been happening for the last 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Now that you've finished the 3-album trilogy of the Vikings, have you talked about what your next album will be about?
We have, but we have not yet come to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a lot of ideas, but we're not really through with that. A matter of fact is the band hasn't been playing together for over a year. So what we'll do is we'll have a meeting in March, and we will sort of sit together and try to work out a plan, and I find it extremely important that everybody's involved in that. I don't want to be the person who puts things out, you know. We should make a decision for all of us, and then we should try to follow that. So for the time being, you know, we're simply looking forward to playing those festivals and to meeting a bit more often again and playing together, and then we'll maybe have the chance to talk about what we do next, and then we'll settle things. It's too early to say that now. The band basically has been out of business for a whole year simply because of Hugh's accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, for my final question for you, Tommy, do you have anything you want to say to the metal fans over here in the U.S. and around the world?
Yeah, of course. For me, it's always been a great experience to travel to very different places in the world, South America, Japan, Israel, all over Europe, of course, and to simply find out that wherever you go, there's fans who understand your music, who appreciate your music, and all that was my doggy and my daughter who stepped on him. But there's fans who listen to our music, who appreciate our music, and it's a sort of a thing to bring people together in a shrinking world, you know, and it's a good thing.